And welcome to another episode of
Trash or Treasure,
the podcast where Kim
and Amy
bring you spoiler-free recaps, reviews, and recommendations for whatever we read. Amy, what did we read this week?
We read The Duchess Deal by Tessa Dare, which was recommended to us by Karen. We previously read The Governess Game,
which is the second in this series. Would you like me to do this?
I'd love you to do this. Thanks for reading into my pause there.
Okay, well, when and where is it set, Amy?
Regency romance.
Great. Thanks very much.
It's set in London.
But I don't remember anyone's name. Is that going to be a problem?
Emma.
Oh, great. What was his name?
Give me a moment. Lord, give me a moment. The Duke of something or other, who's only a Duke because his brother was the Duke and his brother died and then he had to come back from the war. Wasn't that the thing?
That's how everyone becomes a Duke. I love how much of like a, oh, it's so terrible. I inherited the title because someone in my family died. And I'm like, dudes, literally, that's how titles get inherited.
I feel like all of his people died.
I'm fairly sure everyone is dead, yes.
Sorry, we might be getting it mixed up because there's a point where you read so many different romance novels. They all really cross over and you're like,
and I have read quite a few. Like, I've read three this week.
There needs to be like a monkey in it or something to help us remember.
Like a dog.
Love a dog. Was that the dog with those antics? Oh, yeah. Ashbury. Ash, she's known as the Duke of Ashbury. He has a first name, but I don't think it's ever really relevant.
I think she calls him Ash. I think that's what they go.
Well, she
with.
Calls him things like my turtle dove, my snuggle umpkins, because he's like, don't call me Ash. She's like, I'm not calling you the Duke.
Oh, that's right.
So she's like, my sweetie pumpkins.
That's right. I thought that was the
No, in the governess game.
I thought that was the governess game.
No, in the governess game, she had room.
The room.
His room of sexy requirements.
Oh, my goodness.
They both had wordplay in them.
All right.
Okay. So it's Emma Gladstone and the Duke of Ashbury.
Great.
And now we need to go back to the beginning. So it's a Regency romance.
Well, skip to this bit if you want to miss all of the middle antics. So basically, Emma is a vicar's daughter who has come to London because she had a falling out with her dad over a betrothal or something. And he was like, you're a hussy, out you go. And so she had to go to London, make her own way. And so she is a seamstress, is how she makes her way in London. So she meets the Duke. Our kind of opening scene is her arriving in his home wearing the most hideous wedding dress you've ever seen in your whole life because his betrothed had ordered this wedding dress from Emma, from Emma's whatever, seamstress. So the betrothal between the Duke and his fiance was cancelled, whatever, called off, whatever it is. And so Emma never got paid for the dress. She can't make rent. She is like, I need to get paid for this dress. So she wore it over to his house being like, I'm aware this dress is ugly, but look how intricate it is. Look how much work went into the dress. I need to be paid. I was never 1,000,000% sure why she wore it over there, but whatever.
Well, she got his attention.
I guess that's true. And so basically the Duke is like, okay, I'll pay you for it, and gives her the money, but is like, I want the dress then, right now. And so there was like a little bit of a, should I take it off? Ruddy rah. And anyway, through this all back and forth, he needs a husband.
He needs a wife.
Sorry, he needs an heir.
He
needs an heir.
When the story opens, he's been writing a to-do list.
Yes.
And number one on his to-do list is
Sire a baby.
Need wife.
And so he was like, you're attractive. And somehow clearly desperate. And somehow in like the back and forth banter of that initial kind of meet cute, he's like, I could marry you and you could be a duchess. And she was like, I could do that. And he was like, no one else will marry me. We'll get back to that in a second. And she was like, okay, well, what would this look like? And he was like, I want an heir, and then I want you to go and raise that child in the country, and I will never see you or the child again. And she was like, that sounds okay. And so that's essentially the agreement that they reach.
That's the Duchess deal.
That's the deal that they make. And so his kind of, I guess, thing that he is, his character kind of thing that he's bringing to it is that he was injured in the war really badly injured in the war, you know, cannon blast, something, I can't remember. There was some kind of injury, but it means he's been...
Yes, a cannon.
It was something, there was like a burn situation. And so he's been burned all down one side of his body quite severely.
They love these one side of the body.
Yeah, because I think you need to have like a bit of handsome left, I think is the moral of that. I don't know.
Like just stand on that side.
Just stand on my good side. Yeah, so basically he's been kind of in, he's been out of society for a long time and had kind of re-entered society being like, all right, I'm going to marry this woman.
Well, they were sort of engaged beforehand.
Before the injury,
and then
yeah.
They came back and she was like, oh, you're hideous.
Yeah. And it is pretty new. Like the injury is probably only a couple of years old at this point. And he's like, so it does look better than it used to. So that was a bit of a thing. Anyway, they get married and then don't want to spoil anything for anyone, but she doesn't really want to stand by the deal that they originally made. So other than that, it's pretty much your standard kind of romance situation. There's like in the friends.
What is that?
We have a guest.
Is that a camera?
Yes, Arthur, it's a camera. We're trying to tell people about a romance novel. So
can you?
What is that?
That's where the sound is going. That's the sound recorder. Do you want, hey, are you able to sit quietly or do you want to go inside with your brother?
I'm going inside with my brother.
Okay, now look at me. You have to stop interrupting. Can you do that? Okay, cool. So, I love you. Say bye, everyone.
Bye.
Okay, great.
Okay, so.
Okay, so now Arthur is gone. Bye, Arthur. Other than that, it's your standard, bulk standard romance. The people who were in the governess game, so that she has, like, a group of three friends who are all, like, slightly odd.
She meets them in this.
Does she?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. No. Does she?
Yeah. They invite her over.
That's right.
They live in Alex, across the
Alex
square.
And the lady, the person who's Nicola, actually...
Penelope. Prudence.
She's the one who's actually aristocracy and has money. Yep. Right. So they meet in this one. Yes, that's correct. I remember that now. And that's kind of it. What did you think of the Duchess deal?
I actually loved it.
Oh my god!
I really enjoyed it. I read it. I was like, foom, 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 foom.
Wow!
Foom. Read it, persisted. It was one of those ones where I didn't go to bed until like 2 a.m. because I was like, I started this book too late and I have to finish it.
Fair.
I liked both of them. I thought that their conflicts and motivations were plausible within the realms of romance novel tropes.
Sure.
The ending was a tad. You know how sometimes you're like, this is going great, and then, oh, they have to have some argument 10
yes.
pages out
oh
from the
God,
end so that there's
so
tension.
Annoying.
But overall, there wasn't anything in the book that made me yell, get on with it, which
that
sometimes...
That was the same in the governess game, though, too.
Yeah, they had that.
That had that stupid little problem at the end, and I was like, why are we doing this?
Yeah, it's too late. Actually, it's too late for that problem. It had tension without it needing to be like... up and that sort of up and down like fight structure that often exists in
yeah well they had
novels.
Real things that needed to be overcome.
Yes.
Any the things they were overcoming would have been hard to overcome in a modern book, like, you know what I mean, they were kind of universal problems in that sense.
They didn't need additional arguments except for the one at the end.
Yes.
There was a character in it called Trevor who was like this kid that sort of befriends the Duke.
I wanted more of Trevor. Too.
Loved Trevor, yeah.
Loved
wanted
Trevor.
So much more of Trevor because yeah. Trevor's sort of like obsessed with Penny Dreadful type novels.
Yes.
It was very steamy.
So one of the things
very steamy. Like I would actually say it was almost more steamy than the Mia Vinci that you were like
yes.
the Christmas Affair,
no,
remember?
No, 100%. No, the Mia Vinci, problem is the wrong phrase, but the reason I found the Mia Vinci so confronting was because she was the more experienced of the two.
No, she was the experienced
yeah,
one.
Yeah, she was the experienced one of the two. And so as a result, there was just a lot of like...
Love banter?
Here's what I'd like you to do to me next. That's what I found. Like it was there.
Instructional yeah. guide.
There was a lot of instructional guide and I found that quite
this one wasn't quite as instructional, but there was a lot of... Because basically part of the Duchess deal is I shall be visiting you all of the time until you conceive.
Yes, you need to get with child.
A child.
Yeah. And I actually, that was a note that I had for this book that was essentially like this series in general is probably a little bit too graphic sex-wise for me. There's not really, like, I get that that's part of it. I read the books. That is fine.
It's not like the Sarah McLean ones where they're graphic but they're full of love banter, which sort
Correct,
of distracts
is,
you from the graphic
I
because
like,
you're like, just shut up!
Shush, you're ruining it. Whereas, no, this was just a little bit...
These are our first Tessa Dares. So
yes.
this might be the steam level of Tessa, but it was...
There's just a lot of sex.
So I read it and I was like, oh, and Kimberly thought A Christmas Affair to Remember was steamy. I wonder how she went in this.
They are. I do find them a little bit too graphic for me sex-wise, but
so,
that's all right.
But you can always go if you're not audiobooking it.
I cannot audiobook these kind of books because I audiobook in the sewing room, which is essentially a giant space in the middle of
my
house.
On a Bluetooth speaker, whereas I audiobook in headphones.
Or like while I'm cooking dinner or whatever. And I just don't, it's just not the right time to have like little voices. And particularly because my eldest child is reaching that point where
He listens
and he'll be like, huh. Why is she singing about blah, blah, blah? And we'll actually talk to you about the things that are happening. So, yes, I can't. I don't audiobook these. But it did mean, yes, I do skip. I do skip. I skip over some of the sex scenes.
Well, yeah, I can understand that.
There were a lot of them.
Well, you know, it was part of the Duchess deal. From the outset, we knew that he set the terms very clearly in, like, chapter one.
Yes, and the governess game was equally...
Yeah.
A lot of sexy time. I found that was a bit, I was like, that's a lot of sexy time.
That's because he had his sex room.
He had a sex room. And then, so then when we got back to the Duchess deal, I was like, oh, Governor's Game had nothing on Duchess deal.
It's the first in the series. But so,
anyway, sorry,
so my summary
is
no book will ever equate to The Perfect Rake by Anne Gracie or Romancing Mr. Bridgerton by Julia
Correct.
Quinn in my heart. But this one came darn close.
Wow.
Except for the silly bit at the end.
Well, so Patelza. Yeah. That's crazy.
And me wanting more appearances from Trevor.
Makes sense.
So I will reread it and I recommend it.
Glorious. And have you read the third one?
No. I don't know if I want to.
Ah!
Because I didn't find that character quite as interesting, the one
no.
who makes sham sandwiches.
And is in love with animals.
Yeah.
Like, that makes it, I don't mean in a rude way. Sorry, just to super clarify.
It's not a story about her and the
it's
animals.
It's not about, no,
finding
it's
happiness.
Not her and a goat.
Yeah, sorry. But because they don't really develop the characters in each novel. So Alex, who's the protagonist of the second novel,
isn't massively developed
in this one.
No.
And therefore Lady Penelope isn't massively developed in either of them.
Correct.
So I could, maybe I'll read it. Who knows?
Who knows? Who knows what future Amy will do?
I know. So, what did you think, other than it being
very steamy,
very sexual?
I found that was the whole thing that you just said. I am shocked by your vehement endorsement of this book, because we're normally more aligned with these things. I thought it was okay. I would not put it anywhere near The Perfect Rake.
No,
in terms of like cleverness and banter. Yeah, but I didn't think it even came close. Like, for me, this was like a middle of the run. Not terrible, not awesome, not good enough that I think I'll go back and read it. Like, because we read so many of them.
We do.
And so many of them keep coming out. And there are already more of these books in existence than I could read with my remaining years of life. Like, even if I live to be 95.
Well, that's why we review them, put them in piles.
It's so why we review them and put them in piles, because we're trying to save other people time in case they have even less time to, you know, put aside for reading books. But I thought this one was okay. I thought...
You clearly skipped most of it because of all the sex scenes.
No, I didn't. I read the sex scenes. I just was like, oh, God, again? This which says probably far more about me than it does about Tessa Dare and her writing, right? Like, I'm not pretending that I am anything other than a prude, but that's just how it is. So I really liked the servants in this one.
The servants were great.
She had a great relationship with the staff, and they were like, don't give up. Seriously, you just have to, like, get
and the servants are trying to put them in little romantic
Yes, to make them fall
settings.
In love and stuff. It was very cute. It had like that kind of Beauty and the Beast undertone to it, but not in like a Eloisa James, I am deliberately writing Beauty and the Beast with people kind of side kind of thing.
With a character called Piers.
Oh, my God. Well, this wasn't that, but it was very cutely done. I liked the Sevens. Overall, it was a little bit unlikely and very far-fetched in places.
Yeah,
and
I was love like, that. It's like, oh, okay. Like ridiculous fairy floss entertainment
yes,
level.
Yes, and look, that is what it is, and I love it. Like, I really enjoy those, I can't remember the author's name, but the ones about ghosts.
Jennifer Crusie.
Thank you. Love a Jennifer Crusie. I need to reread the one where they're in the house and there's a ghost.
The
what is that one?
Haunted house that's like the turn of the screw. She's a governess and there's
yes,
the two
yes,
kids.
Yes, yes.
I'll ask Louise. We reviewed it.
We reviewed it. It'll be on.
It's the first Jennifer Crusie
right,
we reviewed.
I'll go back and have a look. I want to reread that. At any rate, and I think for me, that's what this book was. This book reminded me of much better books. You know what I mean? When you're reading something,
bits of it reminded you of The Perfect Raid.
Yes.
Bits
and
of
I
you
was
reminded
like,
Jennifer Crusie with the.
Yes. So I would have trouble recommending this book because I think it is probably a bit forgettable for me.
But you liked the governess game.
I did like the governess game. I really, really did. But I thought Alex was a stronger character. It had the kids and they were developing nicer.
The kids were great, yeah.
And they had like the kid funeral thing happening, which was really the
doll
funerals, which was so good. So that's probably my biggest criticism of this is when I'm looking at the things that I love about like The Perfect Rake and Romancing Mr. Bridgerton is that those ensemble of characters are very well developed.
Mm,
and
yes,
so
they
I
are.
Remember the relationships that they had, not just together with Sexy Times, but with everyone around them. And I feel like that was missing for me in this book. So yes, the servants were interesting. And yes, we got to meet those other characters who would then have their stories told in later books. But like you said, they're not very well developed, not developed well enough to be like, I really need to know what happens
to them. I want to know what happens to that person.
So that's,
or I
think
more of Trevor, like that type
yes.
of stuff. Yeah.
So I felt like I wanted, yeah, that's what I think is missing. It was fine and the story was fine. It was all okay. Nothing was particularly offensive or problematic or anything like that.
What a relief.
Some of it was far-fetched, but it was fine. Yeah, so it was okay. If you were like, I want to have a read of something by Tessa Dare, I would probably recommend The Governess Game before I would recommend this one. I think I enjoyed The Governess Game more.
I think you can totally read them out of sequence.
Absolutely. And in isolation, like you could read Governess Game and never read anything else by her. It's
fine. I mean, Ash and Emma making a couple appearances in Governess Game, but it's not contingent on you having understood what happens in
absolutely
this book.
Not. And so, yeah, that's kind of, I liked it. It was fine.
I had a great time with this book.
I liked Birth of the People. Like, so it was all, like, nothing. It was okay. I just, like, if someone was like, what is your favorite romance novel? This wouldn't make probably my top 100.
Right. Okay. Whereas I think it's in my top. It's in my tops.
Yeah, that's right. So, no, this didn't make it anywhere near my
maybe
top
I need
list.
To go reread The Perfect Rake. Great. All right, well, let's wrap it up.
And so that's it. Yours is a very hearty
treasure
recommend, and mine is a trash. Sure, read it. I mean, I'm not telling you not to read it.
You're just telling you you might have other things you could spend your time on.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. If you are incredibly time poor, I would not recommend this book. If you are time wealthy, go for gold. Do whatever you want. That's how the rich work. but anyway, either way, you've spent some of your time with us and we are grateful for that. Join us again next week. We'll bring you more spoiler-free recaps, reviews, recommendations for whatever we read. And until then,
happy reading!
And just a quick reminder here at the end of the podcast that we would love to hear from you. We want your recommendations, the good, the bad, the interesting, doesn't matter. Please reach out, send us an email at trashortreasurepodcast@outlook.com. Or we are also available at the world's most awkward Twitter handle, which Amy has to tell you about. Listen to our Twitter handle. It's the greatest.
It's @or_treasure.
Doesn't that just roll off the tongue?
And with those encouraging words, tweet or email us.
We love to hear from you. Happy reading.
Cheers.